Never the Roses by Jennifer K. Lambert. Read by Chloe Campbell and Shane East. One. The sorceress Onira retired from the gilded courts of men after the last war. Her last war, that is, as she'd resolved to absent herself from such conflicts for the remainder of her life. She built herself a house on a spit of land between the mountains and the sea, close enough to both that she could descend the long series of white steps to the pink pebble beach below, or follow the narrow trails left by forest animals through the hills rising behind. Large windows looked out in all directions, commanding views of the wave-tossed horizon, the snow-capped peaks, and the forest canopy between. She raised a tower with a single room at the summit and nothing in it, and topped it with a bubble of crystal she breathed into being, like a dream that could never shatter. Alone in that tower, she watched the sun rise and set, the stars spin into a diamond-splashed array of contained chaos. And she set her wards, meticulously guarding all approaches to her solitary fastness, especially the one road that led there from the world of men. In this way, she lived at an intersection of the elements of nature. If she could remove that sole unnatural element, she would have. She loathed that pulsating scar through the forest, left by the hungry axes of men, one last ugly link that rendered her forever tethered to their world of debts and allegiances and endless plotting. She didn't care if she never saw another human being. Even in their noisy, greedy midst, she'd been isolated in her power and her soul-ravaging sorrow. At least now she would have silence. Though ward-making wasn't the strongest of her skills, she didn't concern herself over much. Her weakest ability, whether in drawing runes, mind-reading, divination, healing, and so forth, still exceeded the best most magic workers could muster. Only someone like Styrenos Stormbreaker could outmatch her there, and only because he was a powerful chartomancer, able to channel his magic through runes of all kinds, particularly wards. And Styrenos, the nemesis she'd never met, had no reason to attack her, and every reason not to, especially now that she'd been freed of the blood gesh that had bound her since childhood. For the rest of the world, magically gifted and otherwise, her reputation was enough to terrify all who'd heard the tales, even the ones that hadn't been liberally embroidered. Also, she'd been coldly clear as to the consequences of anyone who dared disturb her retirement. No one could or would dare trespass on the privacy of her exile. So no one did, for a very long time. She found a solace of sorts in the silence that wasn't silent at all, but simply devoid of idle chatter, angry debate, and the shouts and screams of the dying. Away from the crowded world of people, other sounds emerged. Onira learned to appreciate the subtle harmonies of the crash of surf against the rocks far below, the sifting rustle of the leaves as the winds changed direction, wafting cold alpine air over the forest one moment, salt-drenched ocean warmth next. Onira had never been one to talk to herself. She'd learned the lesson early in her education to be very careful of what she put into words. For any sorcerer, but particularly a powerful oniromancer like her, giving voice to thoughts gave them a tangible reality that could lead to disastrous results. When Onira spoke, she scrupulously said nothing of import, or she deliberately shattered entire realms. It was far easier to say nothing at all, to allow the small